You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have long since been out of contention, so their focus really has started on next year. But there's always something swirling with the Arizona Diamondbacks. There seems to be a controversy that is just brewing around this team at all times. So let's find out about that. Let's bring in MLB.com reporter Steve Gilbert, who has been covering this team from the very beginning of our beautiful company. Steve, I have to ask you, I read your story on Tony La Russa's explanation on this whole incident that happened between the Diamondbacks and the Pirates when guys were getting thrown at and bones were being broken. And Tony's explanation basically was like, hey, you know, the Pirates, they pitch up and in by choosing to do so. They have to live with the consequences. So I was kind of scratching my head because I don't really understand it. So maybe you could explain to us what he meant by that and what everything that has gone into this and what it means.
Well, Allison, I think what Tony was trying to say is that the Pirates have a style of pitching that is not just necessarily inside but up and in, which is above the belt and in, which is where every hitter has a hole in their swing. So it's an effective way of pitching. However, if you don't have control and you pitch up and in and the ball gets away, it tends to do what it did in the situation of a Goldschmidt, where it comes in the hand type area or even up near the head. So his point, I guess, was that the Pirates use that type of style of pitching, and so they can't expect other teams to just kind of wear that all the time. And he used as an example the fact that, and this is at the time we talked with him, the Pirates had hit 61 batters this year, and as a result then been hit 60 times in return, whereas the Diamondbacks, I believe at the time, had hit 32 batters and been hit like 33 times. So his point was just that teams are going to throw more into the Pirates because of the fact that the Pirates throw up and in. And, again, it gets back to a he said, he said, and who started what, and those things never seem to fully get resolved to everybody's satisfaction.
So basically what he's saying, I guess the question is, does that warrant a team retaliating? Because I'm clearly the pitch to McCutchen wasn't like up and in, it was just at him. And so I guess that's
correct.
Where people take exception is like, where does it become, well, if you're going to pitch up and in, we're going to pitch up and in, where as opposed to, well, if you're pitching up and in, we're going to throw at you for doing that to us. I guess that's where it kind
of
becomes convoluted.
I think Tony's point is that he doesn't ever want his teams to throw up and in, and that one of the ways to stop that is when another team is throwing up and in and hits one of your guys, if you end up hitting one of their players, then eventually the hitters on that team will talk with their pitchers and say, hey, you know, you're getting us hurt or you're getting us thrown at. So, and maybe that would then get the team to change their mindset. I know that Jeremy Guthrie had an incident with that. I believe it was with the White Sox, and I can't remember the exact team, where he hit a couple of their batters, and then somebody got hit on his team, and he apologized to that player for getting him hit in the sense that, you know, even though he wasn't intentionally doing it, he hit a couple of the other team's batters. So, again, it's this unwritten rules that, of baseball that nobody ever can really agree on that always seem to lead to trouble.
it kind of brings me to Kirk Gibson a little bit, just having – the reputation of being like this hard-nosed player. I mean, we've talked about it, like kind of defined the 80s, in my opinion, just like the blue-collar, hard-nosed guy that you want on your team. Kind of like a soft-spoken guy, but tough-talking guy. So now that he's managing this team, it seems to be in this controversy, and he's really gotten some pretty negative criticism lately. I mean, people have been a little mean-spirited and just kind of blaming this whole thing on him and blaming him for sort of changing the clubhouse into this headhunting mentality. I mean, do you think that that's a little bit unfair, what he's been getting?
Well, I think part of it, Allison, I think that had Kevin Towers not made the comments that he made last October, in which he referenced an eye for an eye when it comes to these kind of things, and that, you know, if pitchers weren't comfortable with that, then they had options, they would find a way to get rid of him. I think that kind of focused attention on the Diamondbacks in a negative way. I think had that not been the case, then this little back and forth between them and the Pirates probably doesn't gain the same kind of national traction that it has. I think that also, when you speak of Kirk Gibson, I think the fact that when they hit Ryan Braun, also believed to be intentional earlier this year, it didn't help that as Evan Marshall walked off the field after being ejected, that Kirk Gibson was on the top step of the dugout and gave him a high five. Or fist bump is actually what he did. But, you know, so I think that combined with Tower's comments, and I think it just it shines a spotlight that they're shining their own spotlight on themselves and kind of bringing this unwarranted attention that otherwise some of these incidents might not get.
Yeah, and it's hard to kind of reverse that, right, from just a public standpoint. I mean, people are, you know, their attention spans aren't that long, and this, the business that we're in, the sports industry, is kind of fickle. So it's sort of hard to shake that reputation once you get it.
Absolutely, and I think that, you know, Tony, he gave an explanation, but as you said, the attention span of people is not necessarily going to be long, and once those stories and once that perception is out there, it's always difficult to go back and kind of change it or get people to rethink things.
So let's move to, I'm looking at the roster here, and Bronson Arroyo, I find, you know, kind of a fascinating study. So he'd never been on the DL before, and then he goes down and he has, you know, Tommy John surgery. So he's signed through next year, club option for 16. I guess with the success of these surgeries now, I mean, does the organization feel pretty confident that they can really slot him in at some point next year? When's he due back? And is his age going to be a factor? And what do you sort of see happening with him?
Yeah, how about the Diamondbacks' luck? I mean, here's a guy that now has never been on a disabled list. He's never missed a start in all his major league seasons. And he gets signed by the Diamondbacks and right away ends up needing Tommy John surgery. But there's a feeling that because of the kind of shape that he keeps himself in, that he probably could be back by the All-Star break of next year. Certainly it's always hard to count on those things. We saw with Daniel Hudson when he was a week away from returning last year and he re-tore the ligament in his elbow. So I think the Diamondbacks tend to be a little more cautious now in how they bring guys back. So they're somewhat optimistic that they could get him back midway through next year. And he's a guy that's always kind of pushing the envelope physically. I mean, he pitched, I believe it was like 5 starts with this torn ligament before finally having a test done on it and having it show that it was almost completely torn off the bone. So he's a guy that has a high tolerance for pain, is a guy that takes pretty good care of himself. And so they're kind of, even at his, I shouldn't say this because he's younger than I am, but even at his advanced age, for a major league pitcher, they're somewhat optimistic that they can get him back next year.
I mean, he's a perfect guy to have on a team. When he's healthy, obviously, but just a consummate teammate, consummate professional. You really don't hear anything negative about him. He seems to make pitchers better and just really adds to a contending team. I mean, it seemed like a great signing when it happened. I guess you can't really prepare for this stuff.
No, I like it. You know, a guy that had zero injury history in his past, and so he was the last guy. Matter of fact, we were all going to him earlier this year when all the Tommy John and the rash of Tommy John injuries or surgeries that were taking place, and kind of asking him, "Hey, how have you been able to, you know, avoid all that?" And he had this theory that, you know, he doesn't throw as hard, he doesn't throw at max effort like some of these other pitchers do, and that was one of the reasons, along with his conditioning program, that helped him keep his arm in shape. And, you know, then a month later, he ends up tearing that ligament. So it was one of the things you knew you were getting, you thought you knew you were getting with him, someone that's going to pitch 200 innings for you and not miss a start. And obviously that wasn't the case, but that's usually what you can count on from him.
And after the disastrous start that the Diamondbacks had, I mean, they really put it together over a pretty long period of time. I mean, pretty decently. They're like a few games under 500 over, 3 months after that initial few weeks. So looking at the rotation, I mean, how is that kind of shaking out, like looking toward next year? Pretty confident in the rotation? It seems to be sort of solidifying itself a little bit.
Well, they're hoping to possibly add a starter in the offseason. They're also looking at getting Patrick Corbin back, hopefully, you know, a month or so in the next season. They're hoping the top their top prospect, Archie Bradley, will continue to develop over the last month of the minor league season, and that he can compete for a rotation spot next year. And then they're putting some faith in the fact that some of the younger pitchers like Chase Anderson, who's done a nice job since joining the rotation, since being called up, is a guy that, that could help them out in that rotation next year. And that Trevor Cahill is a guy that, that can bounce back and kind of find the effectiveness that he had his first year with the Diamondbacks and previously in Oakland.
Well, we'll keep our eye on it. So never a dull moment with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So thank you, Steve Gilbert. We'll be checking in with you soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.